It's Mary
and Jenny,
and we came into our identities in our 30s.
This is Queerly,
where we do life in community.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, dope souls. Hello, dope queer souls. It's such an exciting time to always get together and sort of reflect on life and talk about queer stuff and do life in community. Always the best.
Yes.
I actually look forward to these sessions.
Me too.
Oh, my God. Anyway, like I always ask, Jenny, what's your joy for the past week?
Well, this joy was kind of a while back. I totally forgot to mention it, I think, because some time has passed. But one of the biggest joys this summer was that E-Ikes brought back a youth camp that we used to have. And this year, it was so awesome.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was really cool. I was one of the coordinators. Yeah, so we had about 15 campers, I believe, and 15 staffers. And the campers range from 12 years old to 21. It was so cool to just hear from young people again. I think it's just been a while since I've been around younger students or younger people. And that was really cool because we all were in groups, just learned a lot, held space for a lot of different perspectives, I think, and also just learned and held space for their energy because they had energy for days.
They do not run out of energy. I think young people are our hope, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It's always good to see, like, especially for me, when I look at the young LGBTQ community, I'm so impressed. So I can imagine the joy you had interacting with these kids. For how many days were you there?
We were there for the weekend. Okay. So about 2.5 days.
2.5 days. So imagine you have these kids 2.5 days. They've let their hair down and they're free. That's always a joy.
Like, it was such a joy. And just to see how open they were to be present. They totally were saying yes and diving into whatever we were doing. And I don't know, that was just really cool to just be in nature. People from all different backgrounds, all of us, all of the campers, connecting and learning about each other and also having fun. I had so much fun.
That sounds really cool. Yeah. And it sounds like it gave you so much life.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
What about you, Mary? What's your joy?
My joy. So people think that being an adult is like super easy, but being an adult, you have to look after your health. You have to be physically fit. You have to get your job done. You have to invest. You have to buy this. You have to buy that. You have to look after your healthcare and all that stuff. But one of the things that you have to do as an adult is getting enough physical exercise. So there's these stairs in my neighborhood that people usually, they're really steep. The incline is really steep. They're really high. And people usually go, there's like a short hike to where the stairs are. And then, you know, climb up. Mm-hmm. Some people climb up to 5 times. I cannot. So I got there, I looked, and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to climb to the top. Yeah. But I took one step at a time. And then the point where I couldn't breathe or I couldn't go any higher, I would stop, breathe, take a sip of water. And I finally made it to the top.
Nice.
So that brought me so much joy because, you know, I'm getting older. And, you know, just being able to calm down and look back up and say, hey, I climbed to the top and I made it down to the bottom. And I know that my muscles are going to hug me for the rest of the week. They're going to be happy. That brought me a lot of joy. Like, we all know, exercising is not easy, man.
It's not.
But the good side to exercising is, like, there's all these happy hormones that are running around in your body. So, yeah, it's always a benefit.
Yeah.
That's my joy.
It feels great. Afterwards. Ooh, even 100%. If it is so challenging in the, like, while you're doing it, it's so rewarding in the end.
It's super, super, extremely rewarding. So have you heard, there's this movie that's coming out, Woman King, and it's by Viola Davis. And everyone knows I love Viola Davis. And I'm looking forward. There's been some controversy about it, but I'm looking forward to watching it. Yeah. Especially because it has a woman. Is it, what's the word? Is that protagonist? Mm-hmm. Is that what they,
yeah. Yeah.
So I'm always down for movies like that.
Yeah, me too.
We should
I'm
go together.
For that. Yeah, I'm so down.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Anyway, today we're going to sort of dive into media and how representation can be a bonus for people, especially when they can see themselves represented on screen, especially. One of the things that we're going to explore today are TV shows, right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Movies.
TV shows and movies. And especially, I think, for both Jenny and I, being newly into our identities, besides like things we did, like listening to YouTube content creators or being on TikTok, one of the things that was really helpful or instrumental in our work or in our navigating and discovering our identity was actually movies.
Mm-hmm. And TV shows.
And TV shows, mm-hmm. actually. Yeah, and I remember the time that we first connected. And we talked about this. We talked about this.
Yeah, we talked about it in like our first episode or something.
We binge watched the same exact show.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't paid
us. Which I think a lot of people did. Because a lot of like podcasts I listen to, you know, in their journeys,
yeah,
there is always a mention of that show.
Actually, let's talk about this. Do you know why it's the
because
first show that people
that
really tend to watch?
Was the first show, I think, that showed like lesbians and the queer culture in LA, and it was like a long running show.
For a time
eight
when
seasons,
I think people still right? had, you know, homophobia, it was interesting that it ran for a pretty long time.
I think it was
time.
The only show during that time, right?
I think so. Was it in 2010?
The L Word came out in 2004. So it was from 2004 to 2009.
2004 to 2009. Wow.
Actually,
it had a long running, like it ran for long.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think also, you know, besides it have, but even like, us that you know, discovered our identities recently, we also did binge watch the L Word.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's because it's the only show or if it was the show that like had like a variety of, I don't know, characters. And then
I don't really identify with or resonate with any of the characters,
oh,
to
really?
Be honest, because they were all white. Okay, most of them.
Okay, true.
Most of them
that's
were all
true. White. Yeah, that's true. I think I just enjoyed watching it. I don't know if it was for the romance bit of it, because I'm really, I love romance, mm-hmm. you know, to my core. I don't know if it was because of that or the drama. But anyway, L Word is just one
I
of those things
just
people
like
watch.
So raw, right? It was like very not suitable for work.
Definitely not.
And I think it came out when I was in high school. Mm. So it's a little bit scandalous. You know, it's one of those shows where you shouldn't be watching. Mm-hmm. Like if you would be caught dead if your parents, if my parents caught me watching that. Yeah, I wouldn't be let outside the house. Yeah. But I think maybe that's why. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. If you haven't watched L Word and you're looking for some queer content, I would say
I think there are
watch
better,
it.
There's, well, I mean, yeah, but I think there are better shows and movies now.
I agree. And so that like leads us into, I think Jenny and I are going to sort of share TV shows that we think and movies that we think really stand out and why.
Or TV shows and movies that helped us on our journey.
On our journeys, yeah. For sure, for sure. All right. So for me, my number one TV show is Batwoman, especially season one. Batwoman, I think, it's still running till today. And I think they have about 51 episodes. I could be wrong. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But one of the reasons I really love Batwoman, or I was really into it, because one, it's a superhero movie. I'm really down for any superhero movies, especially when the protagonist is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we have Ruby Rose acting as Kate Kane. And then we have Megan Tandy acting as Sophie Moore. And Kate, Kitkin is, I think, basically Batman's cousin, if I'm not mistaken. And so for me, the chemistry between Ruby Rose on TV and Megan is just so beautiful to watch. And I'm a romantic at heart. I've said that before. And so I loved, like, I would always look forward to the episodes because I love to watch yeah. them. I love to watch the chemistry between the two of them. But also, it was an interracial couple on TV. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something about watching, you know, white woman and then a woman of color in love mm-hmm. and maybe trying to fight their love for each other.
Yeah.
And the number one reason why this made it onto my list is because Ruby Rose is actually gay in real life. That's pure great representation. And I'm not saying that all gay queer characters should always be represented by queer people, but when little children who are queer or who are gay see gay characters on TV doing amazing yeah. things, it's there's something it does to you. It's like it opens the whole world to you, and then in your heart you know, I can do that too. And having this sort of representation, especially of gay or queer women, is just absolutely heartwarming to watch. It's generally a great story. I never really got into season two because Ruby Rose didn't sign up for season mm-hmm. two, and I think Ruby Rose is hot.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people do. I think so too, but I feel like she's overrated.
She could be over, but she's hot. Like,
she is.
When I watched her on in Batman season, Batwoman, I was like, she's hot. And then, like, knowing that she's actually gay in real life, mm-hmm. that's even hotter. But yeah, she could be overrated, but she's hot. So if you're into superhero movies and you'd like to watch a superhero movie with queer characters, I would definitely recommend Batwoman season one.
Cool.
Yeah.
And one of the shows that I love is Euphoria. If you have not watched that already, I love how intense, artistic, vulnerable, and raw it was in telling these stories. But Zendaya, I love Zendaya, and she's Snaps. The main character. But also Hunter Schafer is a trans woman, and she is the main, or one of the leads,
amazing.
Well, and that was her first role.
Amazing.
And she is incredible in it. I just love it because when it came out, I think I really liked that it didn't center around her coming out or anything. It was like, she's trans and she's a woman, you know, navigating her high school life, which it totally doesn't feel like high school at all. It's like the show is it's really raw and intense.
Yeah, that's the word. It's very intense drama.
Yeah, but great show.
I haven't watched it, and I think but after listening to your review,
you have to like mentally prepare, though, emotionally and mentally prepare.
Right. Okay.
Because it talks a lot about addiction.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to say too much about it, but I would just highly recommend that show, especially because Hunter Schafer, you don't see a lot of trans leads.
Great. Yeah. It's great to know. I mean, after your review, I'm probably going to prepare mentally and emotionally and check it out.
Yeah.
So what made it to my number two TV shows? This one's easy to find. You just need to go to Netflix or borrow someone's account on Netflix. Heartstopper. This one is really new.
I haven't seen that yet, but I keep hearing rave reviews about it.
It's honestly, I'm not the kind of person to watch like high school romance mm-hmm. or, you know, young adult romance because I'm like way past that age.
Yeah.
But this is a very beautiful story. Aww. It's really young, you know, young teens. It's a love story of young love and self-discovery. And again and again, I will say it's so great that the characters or the actors in this TV show, some of them are actually real queer in life. It's also got a trans woman. her name is Yasmin Finney. I'm not sure I pronounced that right, but she acts as Elle in the TV show. And then there's Joel Locke, who acts as Charlie in the TV show. And my absolute favorite, it's my absolute favorite teen story, I think, that I've ever watched, better than High School Musical, in my opinion. Because I think for a long time, High School Musical was like my favorite teen, but no, Heartstopper was my favorite. One of the things I like about it as well is, so sometimes the teen love stories or the teen movies that we watch usually have adults acting in them. And then those characters in the movie look way older than your ordinary teenager. But I think with this one, even if some of them were slightly older, they tried to get people that some of the characters are really actually young. But also, even if they were older, they really did try to make them look young and present young. So it felt very, very relatable. Like, it felt like you were watching real teenagers in life. And just that story of discovery, because this L trans trans woman acting as a trans teen, dearly loved by the mother, discovering what love is and getting attracted and falling in love and all things that can happen to you as you're discovering yourself, and this other handsome guy is in love with you. And you know, just the whole, it's not too intense. So that's what I think also I love about
very lighthearted.
Because life is not that intense. It does have tense moments, but I love it so much. And then I also discovered, like, as I was reading more about the characters or more about how it came to be, I discovered that there's actually a web comic series already. And there's
Is that where it's inspired by? Oh, I didn't know
there's
that.
A graphic novel, and there are actually novellas as well. So I was like, wait, I didn't know about this, but I think it's really well done, engaging. A good watch if you're tired at the end of the day. So I would recommend Heartstopper. Just for, it doesn't matter how old you are.
Cool.
Good story.
I need to watch that. That's on my list for
sure. Put it on your list.
I know. So something that is completely different from Euphoria, that another show that I watched around that same time, is Sex Education. It's a British show, so there's a lot of British humor in it. But it is so funny. I loved it. It's so well done. And a lot of the characters, there's a lot of queerness represented in the show. And one of the, I think the protagonist's best friend, Shuti Gatwa, he's a Rwandan Scottish actor.
Amazing.
But he, yeah, so, but in the show, his background is Ghana and Nigerian. But to have him as the friend, but it's not the typical like gay best friend archetype that you normally see in shows. He is just so powerful and dynamic as a character.
I like that.
And he, it touches on like his faith, you know, in his church, and that community. I don't know, he's just a very dynamic character that I absolutely loved. But another part of the show that I love is they show different characters from the LGBTQ community, but multiple characters. There's like a bi guy, pansexual woman. Like it's just a lot of different characters with different identities that you normally don't see. Because usually when you watch a show, it's like one.
Yeah, one gay character. Person. And then they focus on the trauma. Coming out. And well, it's true, people coming out have trauma, but like just to watch the TV show that she's described, and they're not really focusing on the trauma, just on people leading life, it's really heartwarming.
And this is also based in high school, and I don't know, there's just like a lot of queerness like throughout the show, which I absolutely love. But it's just hilarious. It's a really good show. All of the actors and actresses are amazing. And I don't know. I would recommend it.
I haven't watched it, but since you've recommended it, that's now going to be number two on my to-watch list. And
Euphoria,
I love fun.
Euphoria is very intense. Sex Education is, has like vulnerable moments mm-hmm. and very heartfelt moments, but it's overall, it's just like really funny.
I like that. Also, just to emphasize, you know, outside of what Jenny has just said, just to emphasize also why Heartstopper made it to number two on my list is because it doesn't focus a lot on the trauma.
Yeah.
On like LGBTQ drama. It's just two young people falling in love yeah. and the challenges that they face. And I think it's important for some of these stories to be told, mm-hmm. To show stories of actually happy queer people, or, you know, just queer people doing life, you know, just as they go about. So my number three, I think by this point, everyone knows that I'm really into superhero movies, but my number three TV show is Black Lightning. Now, there are so many good things to Black Lightning. Number one, all the main character or the focus of this TV show is a black family. And then it's just so nice to switch on the TV and there's like this whole black family of superheroes. And then the dad's great, you know, told that guy. The mom, she's got short, curly black hair. Now, for those of you that really follow media, you know that for a long time, women, especially black women, were not able to take their natural hair onto, it just wasn't represented on TV. And so it's just very great to see a black woman in a lead role with short black curly hair. Anyway, main characters, we have Chris Williams, who's acting as Jefferson Pierce, that's the dad. Then we have Nafisa Williams, who's acting as Thunda. Now, my eyes were constantly glued on Nafisa because she acts as the queer character, the queer woman in this show. She's not queer in real life, but she really did that role justice. Then we have Christine Adams, who acts as Lynn Pierce. And then we have, I think, China Ann McLean, and I hope I pronounced that right, who acts as Lightning. It's such a lovely superhero movie. You know, a black family going about their life with all these superpowers, fighting crimes. Nafisa, who acts as Thunder, she represents Thunder so well. She acts as black, strong, she's queer, and she's sexy. And I always looked forward to any episodes where she was like the main character, mm-hmm. and like looking at the romance blooming between her and like another woman, or like when she was flirting with another woman. It was, for me, like I said, I just love. So it was just it's just nice to watch like a strong woman, you know, go about her, you know, her life, doing the right thing, but also to see them flirting. I like the banter, amazing to watch. And if you're into superheroes, this is a great TV show to watch. Great queer representation, great black representation, but also a light watch. Mm. I would definitely recommend.
I need to watch that.
Any time of the day.
I'm adding all of your shows on my list.
Same. The only one that I think, like you said, I have to prepare for mentally and emotionally is
Euphoria.
Yeah. It really has a good rating. Like,
it's so good.
It's widely watched and mm-hmm. loved by the people that watch it.
Mm-hmm. Another one. So I know that you've been rating yours. Mine is not in any particular order.
Oh, okay.
So just FYI. Another show that I like was actually introduced to me by you.
Oh.
Harlem.
Woo!
I love Harlem. Harlem is on Amazon Prime.
Snaps.
It's with Megan Good, Jerry Johnson, Grace Byers, and Shaniqua Shandai. Mm-hmm. And it's, the synopsis is like four girlfriends who met while attending NYU. And they're now in their 30s, living in Harlem, and they're trying to balance like love, life, and career as like working professionals. But what I love about it, it's like a black Sex in the City. I never really watched Sex in the City. I did watch a few episodes, but it's very similar. I think there are a lot of commonalities, but Jerry Johnson, who is a lesbian character in that show.
I love her.
Yeah, me too. Is she queer in real life? She is, right?
I think she is because, okay, confession. My Instagram feed just has black queer women. Sorry, but yeah, I think she shows up sometimes in my feed.
Yeah, I think she's
curated specifically to just bring black queer women.
Yeah, but it's cool to see that representation in like this type of show. And I don't want to give away the show, but there's just more. There's another plot line that celebrates queerness or that explores queerness. Yeah, Jerry Johnson is queer, and it's cool to have her as one of the leading women, and she's just cool and badass.
She is badass.
Yeah.
Because I've watched that show. Can I interject and just talk about some of the stuff that stood out to me? So these, and now all the, you know, Jenny will remind me, but all the characters' names have really escaped my head. But there's this particular character on the show, Pretty, and just doing life and falling in love with one of the gentlemen, and I think took the kid out. Okay, spoiler alert. I'm not gonna go into the whole story.
I was saying I didn't want to spoil it.
No spoiler alert, but like it was so beautiful to watch her discover.
You're totally giving it away. Okay, no, spoiler alert.
To discover her life is it's a great watch.
It's a really good one, and they navigate a lot of different plot lines and I think relevant stories and relevant topics to today.
Very, very relatable. Mm-hmm. And I think for us, like being over 30, it's just good to watch, you know, that life reflected, like what it's like exactly.
And Whoopi Goldberg is in it. Yeah. And she's so funny in there.
Oh my God, she totally is.
Yeah, it's a good show. I think it's a 10-part series. The first season has 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And they're coming out with season two.
Counting down. I'm waiting for season two
to come out. Me too.
Yeah, and for me, honorable mention, for the TV shows, honorable mention, The Bold Type. Find it on Hulu. Mm. Binge watch it. I won't go into details because this is just honorable mention. The Fosters. Find it on Netflix.
The Fosters.
They're great. It was great. It was.
I forgot about that show.
It was amazing.
It was a good show.
It was a good show. It was just two queer women married to each other raising all these kids.
Yeah.
Amazing. And my number three is Tommy. I love women in the lead role. And Tommy is a white. Actually, I don't know if she's a superintendent or just the head of police, but she's just a white queer woman. It doesn't really focus on her queer life, but just, you know, knowing that she's queer. And I always love that kind of stuff. But yeah, those are my three honorable mentions.
Nice.
What are yours, Jenny?
I didn't have a list of honorable mentions, but I do want to mention one more show called Feel Good. There are only two seasons. It's on Netflix, and it's about, it's a British comedy drama, but it's about Mae Martin, who is a recovering addict and a comedian. And so this is like a semi-autobiographical romantic comedy. And again, British humor in there.
Jenny loves British humor.
No, I mean, like, I don't even watch a lot of British shows, but the two out of the four that I talked about today are British shows. Mm. But yeah, Mae is a non-binary person, and I think it also touches on that too, but it's just very vulnerable, also very raw, but very funny. Mm. And yeah, it was a good one to show from like a non-binary perspective, I think, because I don't normally see that in TV shows or years ago when I was watching this for the first time. These are shows that I watched like a couple years ago, I think, during the pandemic.
Right. I have a question for you. So what do you feel this TV, what role do you feel these TV shows performed in the discovery of your identity?
Yeah.
Or the navigation of your identity?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think seeing the relationships play out on screen or on the TV really helped me see or envision what it would be like. I know that's like, real life isn't like the TV shows or movies, but I think to be able to see it, the conversations that these partnerships would engage in or explore or navigate with each other, and also different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think it's just seeing it. So representation, mm-hmm. right? Just seeing it and then like feeling comfortable with it. Because mm-hmm. like for me, I've had internalized homophobia. And I think to see it on screen and to accept it or to embrace it, not only accept it, because I think maybe for me for the longest time, it felt so out of the norm, or maybe there's a bit of shame around seeing it, which is totally internalized homophobia.
Absolutely.
So I think seeing it and accepting, and now I'm just like, where are all the queer shows? I want to see more queer women of color, like in the movies, in the shows. I want to support all of them and just to see more of that.
Yeah. So yeah. That was a very deep response from Jenny. And I totally agree with her. These TV shows are really instrumental for queer folks, even especially I feel like queer folks who live in super dangerous places,
yeah.
at least they can get to watch these TV shows and provide an escape for them. But also for us who are in areas where we can explore this identity, we also deal with a lot of internalized homophobia mm-hmm. that like Jenny said, and being able to see this on TV, there's a certain thing it frees up in you. I don't even know how to really describe it in words, but it frees up something in you, because, and especially for the ones that do not focus on that trauma.
Yeah.
That do not focus on like the negative side of it. The ones that just show.
Yeah. The ones aren't.
The
stories that aren't around the coming out story. Mm-hmm. I think those are the ones that I get so excited to watch mm-hmm. or to see. Where it's just like, it's just life.
mm-hmm. Exactly. It really is life, because I think people might think, oh, because sometimes I spend a lot of time on Twitter mm-hmm. and, you know, tons of homophobia out there. And people do like to say, oh, we are tired of all these extra gay people that they have to add onto a TV show. Now, why are they adding a gay person? Why are they adding a queer person? But the truth of the matter is, these queer people exist in real life.
Yeah.
They really, really do exist. And adding them to a TV show is actually not even propaganda. It's not even trying to brainwash you. Yeah.
It's being more representative inclusive. Of real life.
It's inclusive. It's just like when we've been, or for me, I'll speak for myself. I watched a lot of movies growing up that are set in the American setting. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, those movies had white people. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, I would say, I don't even want to quantify it, but I would say roughly maybe 90% of the movies I watched had just white people. Coming to California, hello. I ain't see no white people. I ain't see no white people in the buses. I ain't see no white people in the parks. I don't see no white people where I hang out. And when I say where I hang out, I am not wealthy. All right. Mm-hmm. And so then that's when I realized that, oh, actually movies can affect mm-hmm. how you see life, because they're showing you something that's not real, that like there's only white people in the US. But I'm telling you, even most of my friends are not white. Even many of the people I work, okay, some of the people I work with are white. But like most of my friends are not white. And when I ride on the buses, it's not white people. So having queer characters represented on TV is actually real life.
Mm-hmm.
Because these people exist. These people are your friends. These people are your family. They're your cousins. And if you do not know that they are queer, it's because you're not safe space.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, yeah. Watch these TV shows. They're amazing.
If you want to support Queerly, follow, rate, and leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice.
We would love to hear from you. So please reach out to us at hi.queerly@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at Queerly Community. That's QUEERLYQMUNITY. Love y'all.